It's a privilege to be bringing tonight's message once again. It's always great to have the opportunity to preach in my own home church, so it's just always a very, very nice thing to do. Tonight's message is called The Armor of God, and the passage is Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Please turn there, and we will read through it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, before we look further into this passage, let me give you some background information. The book of Ephesians is an epistle of Paul, which was written to the church in Ephesus. He sent them this letter so he could tell those who were once of the world how to live their lives, their new Christian lives, that they were called to live. This is also a reason for some of his other epistles. Throughout this epistle, Paul told the Ephesians that our old life is behind us, that we need to strive to live godly lives, and we need to get rid of evil things in our lives. He also gave us Christ's commands and how to live in things such as faith, how important it is for children to obey their parents, and how servants should obey their masters. All of this is before what tonight's passage is in Ephesians. The first portion of tonight's verses contain a very important command for us to follow, and this comes immediately after where Paul tells servants how to obey their masters. So, number one, we have the constant command. In these verses is a command that we constantly need to be working toward in our Christian life. I want to point out three words that begin verse 10. Finally, my brethren. Now, obviously, the word finally indicates that there's been a series and indicates an ending statement. And if you look at the original Greek meaning, it means that there is something remaining. But this can also emphasize the importance of the following statement. The words, my brethren, show who Paul was addressing. It was the Ephesians, but it also applies to us today. And if you haven't noticed, Paul also tends to use my brethren when something important is following. So with these three words, we know that we need to pay very close attention to what is next. So what is next? Letter A, be strong. The first part of this constant command is that we need to be strong. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11a says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So this is an important command that we always need to be sure, and we always need to be sure that we are following Christ, since he tells us what we need to, since he tells us that we need to be strong with the power of God that is in our lives. Once we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and through that we are empowered with the power of his might. Since he lives in us, we have access to his power. With that power, we can be strong. Now, as I can definitely say, this doesn't mean physical strength, but it does mean spiritual strength. We need to be strong in our spiritual walk with the Lord, since it will help us understand the life that God wants us to live. This command also gives us the process of how to do this. There's a story I want to tell you. A Los Angeles motorcycle police officer saw a red pickup truck speed through a stop sign. This guy must be late to work, he thought to himself. He turned on his emergency lights and radioed that he was in pursuit. The pickup pulled over and the officer approached. Meanwhile, the driver thought, the cops already know. He rested his hand on the same gun that he used a few moments ago when he robbed a 24-hour market. The sack of stolen money was beside him. The officer said, may I see your... He never finished the sentence. The driver shoved his gun toward the policeman's chest and fired. The cop was knocked back flat 7 feet away. A few seconds later, to the shock of the criminal, the officer stood up, pulled his service revolver, and fired twice. The first bullet went through the open window and smashed the windshield. The second tore through the door and ripped into the driver's left leg. Don't shoot, the thief screamed, throwing the gun and sack of money out of the pickup window. What saved the policeman's life was Kevlar, the super strong fabric used for bulletproof vests. Only 3/8 of an inch thick, Kevlar can stop a bullet cold. In Ephesians 6, the Bible instructs every Christian to put on the whole armor of God, which is our Kevlar, to protect us from the world. Now, why do we need to be strong and put on this armor? Well, that's what letter B says. Stand against evil. Ephesians 6:11b through 12 says, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the purpose of our being strong is so we can stand against what the Greek says the travesty or trickery of Satan. And he tells us the real thing that we are against is not flesh and blood. As John MacArthur puts it, our greatest enemy is not the world we see, corrupt and wicked as it is, but the world we cannot see. Things we are supposed to be against are principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and spiritual host of wickedness. In other words, all of the supernatural and satanic forces that oversee or control the wickedness of the world are the real thing that we need to be against. Sure, there is visible or human wickedness since we are born with a sin nature, but the place where the evil comes from is Satan and his demon followers. After all, who tricked Eve into eating the fruit? This is who we really need to be against, and we do that with the strength of God in our lives. That's how we oppose them. One thing that's important for us to understand, though, is that the evil will not go away until Christ returns and defeats Satan. There will be a victory. Today is just not the day. So we're not just supposed to think that once we become Christians and make a stand against evil, that we are free from danger. Because of the fall, we are imperfect and always vulnerable. So it is important to know that we can only resist the devil with the power of God. So now that we've answered the question of why we should be strong in the Lord, we should answer the question, how do we protect our vulnerabilities? That brings us to number two. The continuing process. So how we do this is not just a one-time thing. We don't just prepare ourselves with this process once and then we are good. The process is continuing. It is a process we always need to be working on. It's the same when someone becomes a Christian. The purpose of our life changes once we become a Christian, and God gradually makes us more like Him. The continuing process that we are given here is just a part of our continual preparedness and life change that is the duty of our Christian life. So what things are included in this process? Letter A, God's armor. Verse 13 says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Again, we are told, just like in verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God. We already know that this is an important command and process for us to follow, but since this phrase about the armor of God is repeated, we know that that is extremely emphasized. And why we should do that is also repeated. It's so we can stand against evil, or so we can withstand in the evil day. Now, what is the evil day? The evil day is now. Since our sinful human nature keeps mankind from God because of sin, we are naturally evil. That doesn't mean a person can't do a relatively good thing, but it does mean that those who are not saved cannot do anything good that has merit towards salvation. Only God can save a person. But once we are Christians, the armor of God can protect us from the evil that surrounds us. This armor of God is the steps we need to take to do all to stand. Obviously, this does not consist of real armor. Normally, when one thinks of armor, or at least when I do, you tend to think of a knight in shining armor that is ready for battle. But these pieces of armor basically stand for a characteristic or trait that prepares us for spiritual battle. So what are these pieces of armor? Number one, the belt of truth. 14a says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." So first, we have the words, "stand therefore." This is basically saying, stand strong in your faith to ward off evil by living with the following godly characteristics. The first one is girding your waist with truth, which is commonly referred to as the belt of truth. When we think of a belt, we tend to think of something that goes through the loops on a person's pants to hold them up or even add a visual effect. In a similar way, if we are truthful in our lives, that can hold up our faith and trust in the Lord. Also, in thinking in terms of armor, a belt could protect the areas in between different portions of armor. So when we live our lives in a truthful way, it can keep us together. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. 14b says, "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness." The piece of armor that is called the breastplate is to guard your chest area and, most importantly, your heart and other important organs. This is saying that our breastplate is righteousness. When we live our lives in a godly and upright manner before God, that can protect the important elements of our life from evil. The Bible also says that the heart is desperately wicked. When we become Christians, the Lord cleanses our heart and takes that wickedness out of our lives. When we live for the Lord, it protects our heart and prevents evil from entering our heart again. And one thing that is interesting about this is when we are living for ourselves instead of for God, it is like we throw our breastplate away. It's like we just get rid of it. That's why it's a continuing process. Because we always need to be working toward this. And if you stop, you are no longer protected. So the third piece of armor is the shoes of the gospel. Ephesians 6:15 says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Next, we are told to prepare our feet with the gospel of peace. There is also a piece of armor to go over a person's feet. The feet would be protected to ensure that you could still get around in the midst of battle. If your feet were hurt, you wouldn't be very prepared for battle now, would you? So preparing ourselves with the gospel to go share the good news to people goes right along with the last command that Christ gave us, and that would be the Great Commission. It's our job to go and make disciples, and we need to prepare our feet with that. There's a song by Casting Crowns, and I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's called If We Are the Body. I want to read to you the lines of the chorus, and it goes like this. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? And the answer is because people have not prepared themselves with the gospel. We have to prepare ourselves before we can even begin to show others the way. I read something once that said, the thing to do when you teach is to be a good learner. I would say that pretty much sums it up. So always be prepared to share the gospel. Number 4 is the shield of faith. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. These last three pieces of armor are introduced to be very important by that small phrase, above all. The first one of these very important pieces of armor is the shield of faith. This is telling us that our faith in Christ is a shield to protect us and also to help us in our battle against evil and Satan. Even though we might face certain trials and struggles, it is our faith that helps us get through those and helps us maintain our trust in Christ. We are told that faith is so powerful that if we had as much as a mustard seed, we could move a mountain. This shield of faith also helps protect our areas that might be more vulnerable. Another thing about a shield is that we can move it around. The shield of faith can protect certain areas in the time we need it most. When we do face struggles, that shield of faith comes to protect us from those fiery darts in that particular area. The fifth one is the helmet of salvation. The first part of verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. Once we have been saved through God's power, God has declared us righteous and gives us eternal life. With our salvation, God promises that we will never lose our salvation. Since we are saved, God will protect our lives and will always keep us as being a sheep and follower of His. The helmet is used to protect your head. So when we live out our salvation in the way Christ wants us to live, He will help keep evil thoughts out of our head. This is a very important thing, since the Bible basically equates the thought of doing something evil to actually doing the evil itself. Number 6, and the last one, is the sword of the Spirit. Verse 17b says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So this last and final piece of armor that we need to put on is the sword of the Spirit. A warrior would use a sword to attack the enemy. Likewise, this is saying that the word of God, the Bible, which He has given to us, is our weapon against evil. Reading the Bible is an important part of our Christian life. When we read the Bible, that can help us to prepare even in the other areas of the armor itself. It gives us advice, guidance, and tells us the way God wants us to conduct our life. But the Bible is also sharper than any two-edged sword, and because of that, it is our main weapon. We have kind of already looked at this, but what good is it to have this armor? Let me give you this illustration. There was an article in 1997 which said this. Scientists now say that a series of slits, not a giant gash, sank the Titanic. The opulent 900-foot cruise ship sank in 1912 on its first voyage from England to New York. 1,500 people died in the worst maritime disaster of the time. The most widely held theory is that the ship hit an iceberg, which opened a huge gash in the side of the liner. But an international team of divers and scientists recently used sound waves to probe through the wreckage, buried in mud 2.5 miles deep. Their discovery? The damage was surprisingly small. Instead of the huge gash, they found 6 relatively narrow slits across 6 watertight holds. Everything that could go wrong did, said William Garzik, I don't know how to say that, Jr., a naval architect who helped the team with their analysis. Small damage below the waterline, and invisible to most, can sink a huge ship. In the same way, small attacks from wickedness unseen to others can ultimately sink a person. This is the reason that we put on the full armor of God. If we do not, it will be those small attacks that will crumble our life. Look at King David. It was not just one thing that brought him down. It was a series of things. The lust he had basically caused him to murder. This is why it is important that we always continually prepare ourselves and always be ready and always have on the full armor of God. And this also reminds us that in every area of our lives, we're going to be attacked. Satan's going to try hard, and he does, he really does. But what else is a part of this continuing process? Letter B, our prayer. Verse 18a says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's also important for us to pray. And not to pray a little here and there, but we always need to be praying for anything we can think of to pray about. It's important to pray. As the Bible says, we need to pray without ceasing. And we should also do this through the Spirit. Since the Spirit is in our lives, and He gives us direct access to Him, when Christ died on the cross, the Jews no longer had to go through a priest. He gave us all access to Him. Prayer is another trait of godly life that we should be prepared with. This goes hand in hand with the armor that we are told to put on. Through prayer, God can help us with the armor and help protect us from wickedness in our battle against Him. This prayer is just as important as all of these other things. But the Bible also tells us there are certain things we need to be doing so they can be a resource to us. Number 3, the crucial resources. Whenever we do anything, there are always resources that we need. Whether doing research for a paper, fixing a problem at a job, or just playing board games, there is always some sort of resources that are helpful in doing something. Let me just use board games as an example. If you have all the rules for a game, but don't have the board or any of the pieces, what good does that do? This is very similar to what we are presented with here. We are given the rules and the things we need to do, and how we should do them, and how we should defend ourselves against Satan, but there are other things that can help us even further. Verse 16b says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So the first one we see here is letter A, watchfulness. We always need to be on the lookout for evil around us. Even though we've gone through the process of preparation, we still always need to be on watch for surprise attacks. Satan always tries to attack us in the times when we least expect it. Even though we might have all the tools to defend ourselves from Satan, if we are not paying attention, he can still catch us off guard. It's kind of like our spiritual reflexes. That's the thing that we need to be careful with. Always to be on watch. So this is one of those additional tools we need in addition to our spiritual armor. The second one is B, perseverance. When the times get tough, we are told to always persevere through whatever we might face. God is telling us not to give up, since this command is constant. God gives us the power to constantly be following his command, and he wants us to always get through to the end. The reason for our perseverance should be that we know we have a better future in store, one which involves eternal life with him. And the last one is letter C, supplication. Now, supplication is prayer, and even though it is a part of the continuing process, as we mentioned earlier, it is also a resource to us. This emphasizes the importance of prayer since it has been repeated. And we don't just need to be praying that God will help us to be watchful and persevere with the armor that he has given us, but we also need to pray this for all saints, all those around us, every Christian, because we all need help with this. God gives us the power, but it's also good to pray for that. So through this, all this preparation, in the end, we will come to victory. Christ will come back, and he will defeat the forces of Satan and evil, and all that wickedness will be gone. It will be burned in the fire forever. So God has told us all of these things to protect us from evil. So I hope that if any of you have not been saved, that he has spoken to you tonight. If you need to be rescued from sin and evil, he can do it. Since he died on the cross for our sins and rose on the third day, he has the power over death and can give you salvation tonight. I also hope that this has encouraged those who are Christians to always persevere in the faith, since God has given us the tools we need. Let's pray.